Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson. Have a great show coming up starting in the 1 o'clock hour. The Sweet Auburn, oh, it's beautiful in downtown Atlanta. You know, it was once the hub of black business, and a trolley runs through it now, but they're trying to figure out how to get people not only to visit the area, but also to invest in Sweet Auburn and live in Sweet Auburn. Do you know the history of that street, how it got its name? We're going to talk about that when M. Dominica Youngblood joins me in the 1 o'clock hour. But I also want to remind you that, you know, we got a lot going on here at the station. So if you haven't gotten the KISS 104 app, you're missing out on something. For instance, if you download the KISS 104 app, you can register to win tickets to a night of classic soul. It's called an all-white affair featuring the Isley Brothers. Now, that's coming up on Saturday, July 30th at the Wolf Creek Amphitheater. So check out our events guide at KISS104FM.com for more details. And one last thing. Now, I don't know how many of you pack your lunch, but have you ever had anybody go into the refrigerator and help themselves to your lunch or your coffee creamer? Well, this happened to a woman, and she decided there was one way to make sure that the person who was stealing her coffee creamer would kind of have an upset stomach. I just posted this story on the Facebook page. All I'm going to say is lactation. So I want you to take a look at that story on the KISS 104 FM Facebook page. And now, if you are caller number 14 at 404-741-0104, do I have something for you? I know you want to come to Flashback Festival August 6th. You're out at Lakewood. You know who's going to be there? 911 Band, A Taste of Honey, The Original Lakeside, George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic, and you can be there too. Two tickets if you're the 14th caller at 404-741-0104. KISS keeps you busy. KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson. Well, the woman who did a prank at her office to keep someone from using her coffee mate, I know she's not ashamed. It's hilarious. Go to the KISS Facebook page and find out what this woman did, and whoever was using her cream isn't using it anymore. It's a good little story. We've got so much coming up in the next hour. I'm going to give you a couple of birthdays. One of them is a fly girl. If you remember the shows where they had the fly girls dancing with the Wayans brothers, somebody's got a birthday today, along with a little girl we've seen grow up to where she became a star on Dancing with the Stars. And a couple of basketball greats and a baseball great are all celebrating birthdays today. That's coming up in the next hour. But also in the next hour, M. Dominica Youngblood. She is somebody you need to know. Why? Because she's helping to revitalize the beautiful Auburn Avenue. Sweet Auburn Works. She's president of that. And she's going to be talking to us about how we can get involved to bring back this street that meant so much to the black community. It was the hub of all black businesses, entertainment, and churches. And everyone's trying to get it to be what it used to be, Sweet Auburn. Now, some of you are saying, well, how did it get the name? Very simply, John Wesley Dobbs, who was the grandfather of Atlanta's first black mayor, Maynard Jackson, gave it the name of Sweet Auburn. He said the street was literally paved with gold. Ah, can you imagine what that was like in its heyday? And it should be like that today. So M. Dominica is going to join us to talk about that. And I'll be giving away more tickets to Flashback in the next hour. But if you'd like to get one more goodie, go to our website at kiss104fm.com. We've got a contest page, and you can register to win a $100 Dine Rewards gift card. And you can use it at Outback Steakhouse, Bonefish, Carrabba's Italian Grill, or Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. So if you go to kiss104fm.com, the contest page, go on and register. You may be eating out on us for free. It's called Dine Rewards. We'll be back in just a little bit more with more on KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwback. Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. We're going to be talking about Auburn Avenue in a moment, but now it's time for birthdays. Is it your birthday? Well, happy birthday to Stephen Parker, Larry Veal, Carter Horatio, Jerry Henry, and then to King Essen, who is 44 today. Cedric Gardner is 52. Alan Johnson is 29. And my buddy, Joe Barry Carroll, retired professional basketball player, now a wealth advisor, philanthropist, artist, and author. It's his birthday, and his age is unlisted. And he's selling his birthday, actually enjoying his birthday with these famous folks. He's famous, too. Bindi Irwin is 18. She's the daughter of the late Crocodile Hunter. Kadeem Hardison, remember the actor? Can you believe he's 51? Singer and actress Kristen Chenoweth is 48. Wonder Woman Linda Carter is 65. Actress Anna Paquin is 34. Baseball great, four-time Major League All-Star Barry Bonds is 52. Basketball Hall of Famer, the forward Karl Malone is 53. Actor, former basketball player, and basketball analyst Rick Fox is 47. He doesn't age. Now, if you used to love watching the Seinfeld show, well, you remember Kramer. His real name is Michael Richards. He's 67 today. And our music birthday, Jennifer Lopez, the Fly Girl. She is 47. Happy birthday! Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. I have lived in Atlanta since 1975, and Auburn Avenue has been the place of Black history. But for all of that time, we've been trying to get it back to the way it was. And today, my guest is M. Tominika Youngblood, who's president of Sweet Auburn Works. Now, this is a nonprofit organization that is trying to bring the life back to Auburn Avenue so that it is Sweet Auburn again, the way it used to be. But we have a hard time convincing people why this street is important. M. Tominika, thank you very much for coming in today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Monica.
Why, for people who don't understand why the street is important, why is Sweet Auburn very important to the growth, development, and the history of the city?
Well, it's important to Atlanta because it was the place, frankly, where white Atlanta and African-American Atlanta came, where Black Atlanta came together. And Atlanta is the Atlanta it is because white Atlanta and Black Atlanta came together. Auburn Avenue was the place that that happened. It was also important because it's the birth of the Civil Rights Movement. It's the home of the birth of the Civil Rights Movement. And I venture to say one of the most important citizens ever to walk this earth, Dr. Martin Luther King. And so when you combine its rich history as the first, I mean, there are probably 100 firsts I could think of, literally, that were born on Auburn Avenue. And the importance and impact of Dr. King, and then the notion that Atlanta is the city that it is because Black and white Atlanta came together. They came together on Auburn Avenue. You had to have some place for that to happen, and that's where it happened. And so I contend it's not just important to the city. It's important to the country. It's important to the world.
Well, when I look at Auburn Avenue, and I was looking at the Atlanta University Center has a nice profile of Auburn Avenue. And it said from 1880 to 1965, which was the era they looked at. But I was shocked when I learned that in 1956, Fortune magazine described Auburn Avenue as, quote, the richest Negro street in the world.
I know, it's incredible. And when you look at it now, you wonder, how was that possible? Well, it was possible because you had people who were brilliant. They were dedicated, hardworking, collaborative. They came together to make this place, in many ways, the center of the earth for them. And when you think about other historic African-American streets like 125th Street in Harlem, like Bronzeville, like the Bricks in Jacksonville, like the Black Wall Street in Tulsa. I mean, those were amazingly successful places, but none of them touched Auburn Avenue.
So what was Auburn Avenue like back in the day that we'd like to see that revitalization?
Well, for one thing, it was in many ways the epitome of African-American intelligence and brilliance and leadership and entrepreneurship. I mean, and innovation. I mean, we did some things that were out of necessity to a great extent. We were kind of a captive audience to Sweet Auburn because we couldn't have our businesses elsewhere. But that spilled over into creating not just a business mecca, but a cultural mecca, a social mecca. So you would get dressed up like you were going to Fifth Avenue and go to Sweet Auburn. And so there were restaurants and clubs and
the Royal Peacock.
The Royal Peacock is a perfect example of, you know, a place where, you know, on any given day it was James Brown or Gladys Knight or Jackie Wilson or you name it. Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, everybody who was anybody played the Peacock on Auburn Avenue. And so it, in many ways, was a forced kind of mecca, but it was none the same. And when I think about the things that African Americans were able to accomplish when it was very difficult to do anything as an African American in America, I mean, I am so proud. And that pride, frankly, is what drives me to a great extent and what I want young people, what I call the legacy keepers, those people who have connections to some of the greats like John Wesley Dobbs, like Henry Rucker, like Alonzo Herndon, like Williams Holmes Borders.
And, you know, I mean, these are the greats. And many of our kids don't know who they are. I mean, Alonzo Herndon started out cutting hair on Peachtree Street.
Well, actually, before that, he was a slave.
Yes.
Okay. He came out just at the end of slavery, but he was a slave as a young child. And then he had this amazing, you know, it was fabulous with chandeliers, barbershop on Peachtree, and then realized that African Americans could not get insurance. And so he and some other really important business owners came together in the early 1900s and created a mutual aid society. And eventually that mutual aid society became Atlanta Life Insurance Company. And he became the first black millionaire in the city.
It's fascinating. That's why we need to preserve the street. We're going to talk some more about Sweet Auburn and how you can get involved. And why you should get involved, because Georgia State seems to be encroaching on the area, and that is good. And we want to find out how they can help and others are involved in the revitalization. Yeah, we got the trolley, but we need more than the trolley. Okay, so keep listening. Right now, I'm going to give you something for being a really good listener. If you're the 14th caller at 404-741-0104, KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks, is going to send you to the 21st Annual Flashback Festival. It's coming up on Saturday, August the 6th. Now, you know who's going to be there. George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic. They're going to show out. So if you want to be there with your flashlight, then you need to be the 14th caller, 404-741-0104. You're listening to KISS. KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson. You know the Democratic National Convention is starting, and the Republicans just finished. Just put on the Facebook page why the music at the Republican Convention has caused an uproar. Some people are so angry. So I've wondered, do they ask permission to use these songs? Do they pay royalties? Well, anyway, the Trump people are in trouble because some people are really unhappy with the use of their music. I just put that on our Facebook page. Now, M. Tominika Youngblood is with me. She's president of Sweet Auburn Works. And we're talking about a street in Atlanta that is extremely important, not just to the black community, but to downtown Atlanta and the state of Georgia. It could be a great tourist attraction. And at one end, everybody goes to the King Center, but then when you leave the King Center, M. Tominika, what are we going to do?
Well, you know, what I'm hoping we'll do is we'll be able to attract the kind of investment and attention that the corridor deserves. But you're right, the National Park Service which has just worked with Congressman John Lewis to have the national, the Martin Luther King National Historic Site become a National Historic Park, which elevates it in stature. And so we're waiting on that legislation to get through now the Senate. It's already been through the House and to be signed, hopefully, by President Obama. And so they've done a lot of work, obviously. They've restored what's known as the Birth Home Block, which is where Dr. King's birth home is. And the historic fire station is right there on the corner of Auburn and Boulevard. Then, of course, you cross the street, there is the King Center, the Martin Luther King Center for Nonviolent Social Change, Dr. King and Mrs. King's crypt is there, and the Eternal Flame. There's historic Ebenezer Baptist Church. There's the new Ebenezer Baptist Church, and of course, the wonderful National Park Service Visitor Center that does a really good job of interpreting.
But when you leave MLK's there, life. So, and then when you,
but
leave
you cross
there,
the street and yes. you're in another place, and that's because that's outside of the boundaries of the federal government and the National Park Service. And so, while they've done a fabulous job, frankly, we've done a lousy job. I have to say it. We've done a lousy job. So, you know, you'll encounter broken sidewalks, empty buildings, dilapidated buildings, vacant lots that have been turned into parking lots. Some of them are legitimate, some of them not. There'll be trash on the street. We've got broken lights. The sidewalks and the street haven't had any maintenance since the Olympics. And so it is a tragedy and a lost opportunity specifically for economic development. 1 million people come to the site every single year. If we could get everyone who comes, and no one goes anywhere without intending to spend some money. So if we could get everyone who comes to just spend $5 and have that $5 circulate back into the neighborhood, we could take care of a great deal of what happens in our community ourselves. But the reality is we have not been able to get the kind of attention that we need either in terms of investment, public or private. And so this effort really was mounted to really raise the profile of the need. So back in 2013, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, which does every year its 11 most endangered, to highlight places that are really important and national treasures to us as Americans. They do it every year. Well, in 2013, they did it from the corner of Piedmont and Auburn Avenue to talk about Sweet Auburn, specifically the commercial portion of the district, and we use that as our catalyst to say, okay, we need to wake up because we're losing historic buildings.
The buildings are the old drugstore.
Yates and Milton.
It's gone.
It's gone. I mean, we lost an entire block of fabric some years ago, and so it's unfortunate. And what we want to do, and this is a good place to interject this. So right around that time, and right before that announcement by the National Trust, we gained interest because there was an effort to demolish the Atlanta Daily World building, which was Atlanta Daily World was the oldest daily African American newspaper in Atlanta, in the country. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those firsts, and so we were determined not to lose what I'm going to characterize as historic fabric, and so we, with our friends at the Atlanta Preservation Center and some other folks, fought it. And actually got the Urban Design Commission to unanimously deny the request to demolish the building.
Oof.
A lot of hard work on a lot of people's part. That really gave us some impetus, and that kind of fervor that we created was heard all the way to Washington, D.C., and the National Trust kind of said, what can we do to help?
But you've got so many buildings on the street that are empty, but buildings that were really important.
Extremely.
SCLC is still there.
Yes. So I want to talk about
yes.
that, if I might. So the original SCLC, because they built a new building, but the historic SCLC that Dr. King was the leader of, was located in the Prince Hall Masonic Lodge building on the corner of Hilliard and Auburn. And so what we're doing in cooperation with the National Park Service, because in addition to the legislation elevating the site to a park, it also includes that building in their historic site. And that allows them to interpret the building, specifically the portion where SCLC was housed, because that was Dr. King's work. So they talk about his life, but they don't have a way to interpret his work. And so they've been for years trying to get this legislation up and running. And so it's, as I said, it's gotten to the House and it's in the Senate, and we're convinced that it'll be passed. And so that building housed WERD.
Oh my goodness.
The first African-American owned and operated station in the country, not just in Atlanta, in the country, back in 1949. Okay. It also housed one of Madam C.J. Walker's business. She did a beauty school, so she had, you know, where she trained her people to go out and do their kind of like, you know,
first black woman millionaire.
She was the first self-made millionaire in the country.
Wow.
White or black.
I didn't know that. I've always heard just black.
Well, that's why this work that we're doing is so important, because it really kind of make certain that we tell the whole story, and that we put the work that African Americans are doing and did in context. But she was the first self-made woman millionaire in the country. Now, lots of women got money that was, you know, that they inherited, that was left from their husbands. I mean, no, she made her millions, and she was the first woman in America to do that.
That is an amazing story.
African-American scrub woman. So she had a beauty school in the Prince Hall Masonic Lodge building. Additionally, she had a salon. And our friend Reese has turned a portion.
I've been there.
Have you been there yet?
Yes.
So he promotes WERD as well as, it's the Madam C.J. Walker Museum, as well as her salon. And so what Sweet Auburn Works is working to do with the Masonic Lodge, the Prince Hall Masons, we want to turn the building into the Sweet Auburn Legacy Center.
Oh, I love that.
Because nowhere does the full and complete story of Auburn Avenue get told. I mean, we've got a Center for Civil and Human Rights, and we've got the National Park Service really interpreting Dr. King. But what about all these other people and all these amazing businesses and all these firsts that I've just talked about? How do people know what we did and what we contributed? And I think that that's important, because, you know, a lot of folks contend that we haven't contributed much at all, and in fact, we've contributed a great deal.
We're going to talk some more about that in the next hour, and right now, I just want to remind you, start your weekdays with Tom, Sybil, and Jay with the Tom Dornan Morning Show. Wake up to the most fun information news reports from KISS 104's Condice Presley, your local traffic to get you where you need to be, the TJEMS, starting right here on KISS 104. And after them, you know what happens? Sasha the Diva. Stick around. M. Tominika is going to be here, and we're going to tell you how you can get involved and learn more about Sweet Auburn coming up on the 30th of this month. You're listening to KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. And Tominika Youngblood is here with me from Sweet Auburn Works. And you know, I'm Tominika. I can remember when my daughter, who's now 35, was taking dancing lessons. Barbara Sullivan was teaching in a studio right there on Auburn Avenue.
Yep.
And I can remember also walking across the street after we got finished and getting the best barbecue sandwich I'd ever had in life. But now when I go on Auburn Avenue, other than the trolley and the M bar, I'm trying to think. It's all overtaken now by Georgia State. So is Georgia State part of, and forgive me, part of the problem, or is it helping to revitalize?
Well, so Georgia State, you know, is on our board.
Good.
We recognize them as a significant stakeholder, and so we work with them. You know, they are an expanding and becoming the largest university in the state. And, you know, what we want to do is work with them to make certain that they respect where they are. So they're really not part of the problem, but so far, other than putting students on the street, they really haven't really been part of the solution either.
So, I looked at where Atlanta Life used to be, and that's now a Georgia State building. And I'm happy they're helping to preserve the building because that building is important to the history. The original building is gone.
No. So the original Atlanta Life Insurance Company buildings are still there.
Those two were there. It's just the pharmacy that was on the corner that was torn down.
So that was actually a restaurant. It was the Rucker Building. It was Jenkins Steakhouse, and it had to be demolished. It was a very sad day for me. A young woman lost her life. Her car ran into the building. And so she lost her life and we lost the building. It was probably the worst professional day of my life. And, but we have worked for 20 years. We've owned those buildings. The Historic District Development Corporation. That's my other hat. Owns those buildings. And we are working to preserve them and actually are working with, a developer operator to create a boutique hotel in them. So we are determined to see, it have a useful life.
But it doesn't do any good to have a boutique hotel there when there's nothing else on the street.
Well, but there is some other stuff. So it's right next door to Georgia State. Now, Georgia State can't buy a building the owner doesn't sell. So I can't blame Georgia State necessarily for having bought the Atlanta Life Insurance Company building. Atlanta Life sold them the building. I was disappointed about that, but that's life.
We've got the M-Bar.
But we have the M-Bar, but if you stay in that corridor, the Auburn Avenue Research Library is being expanded and renovated. It's a national draw. It's the equivalent of the Schomburg, but in Atlanta. Right next door is the Atlanta Life Insurance Company buildings. The Atlanta Life Insurance Company buildings. And then, of course, the Atlanta Daily World building has a Condesa coffee shop and Arden's Garden. You come on down Auburn, and there is Mango's, which is a great Caribbean restaurant.
Ooh, I haven't tried
that. You keep going down the street. On the other side is Sweet Auburn Seafood, which has wonderful food and fabulous music.
Where do you park?
You park right. There's a parking lot right next door. You can also park on the street. So there's parking there. Don't worry about parking. Just go. We really want to support the businesses that have made an investment. In many ways, they've had to invest their own resources because, it's been hard to get, financial institutions to recognize the value that the street has. And so, M-Bar is there, yes, but we've got, and we're delighted that they're there. It's a great, fabulous bar and venue. But there are other things, and there are other things coming. And so I would say that despite, what might be seen as overarching and significant investment, there has been investment at an individual and entrepreneurial level that is really bringing the street back.
But maybe I'm missing something here. I don't understand why the city or the county or downtown business district doesn't invest in this. We spend a lot of money and doing things or trying to get underground going, but this is above ground that is right between downtown Atlanta, literally, and then the King District. And it's just a natural. You take the streetcar through there, you get off and you eat, you shop. Why haven't these groups, I'm asking the wrong person, I should be asking those people, why haven't they invested money in this? It's like, why not?
It's a question we all have. We continue to lobby for those entities to be helpful. I will say that Central Atlanta Progress, which is the downtown business entity, has been extremely helpful. I can't count the ways, literally, that they have worked with us. And so they see the value. I suspect a lot of it has to do with the fact that the streetcar is coming down Auburn Avenue, and what didn't happen with the development of the streetcar was the development of the street. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that, it's of course harder to do it after the fact, but I think having recognized that, they have really pitched in and been amazing. So Central Atlanta Progress has been a great partner. I have no complaints. But they have the same challenge that we have, and that is those sources, which would be considered logical sources of public investment, just haven't been there.
Maybe we need to call a mayor and say, what do we need to do to get some money to make Auburn Avenue what it used to be? I mean, I look at that huge statue of the face of John Wesley Dobbs, you know, the grandfather, the first black mayor of the city of Atlanta. And most people don't know who he is.
No, they think that the that sculpture is the head of Dr. King.
And it's John Wesley Dobbs who gave the street its name of Sweet Auburn. Let me take a breath.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to take a breath here.
Welcome to the club.
I am a history buff, but I've learned, I had misinformation before that you've gotten me straight on. And I guess I'm really concerned that this very important part of the history of the city of Atlanta and the United States of America is literally dying on the vine. And there's beautiful housing in the area, 125-year houses. You live in one. And I'm seeing the housing change. But wouldn't it be nice if you could walk down Auburn Avenue and do your grocery shopping the way you used to have that dry cleaner there? Hagerbrooks, is that still there?
Hagerbrooks is still there. Yes.
And then the churches that are there. People come in for the churches, but where there's no place really to go anymore.
Well, you know, so for example, Big Bethel, which is across the street from Sweet Auburn Seafood, I mean, the parishioners go after service and they have brunch there and have a wonderful time. I mean, so there are opportunities. What we're trying to do is lift up and highlight them.
Okay, we need to lift up and get some money.
There's not enough. Well, yes, we do. I mean, you don't have to argue. I won't argue with you about that. We definitely need, investment, you know, both public and private.
You hear that? We need investment. So I'm going to give you all M. Dominica's information on our webpage so that if you're interested and you're a developer and you really appreciate the history of the city, just go down. I'm going to tell you when you can go to Auburn Avenue and really have a good time and learn more about it. That's coming up. But right now, you know, my last set of tickets for my 3-hour period. If you're calling number 14 at 404-741-0104, I'm going to see you at Flashback on Saturday, August 6th at Lakewood Amphitheater. Give me a call right now. And if you're calling number 14, you're going. How appropriate is this song, you know, because we're talking about trying to save a part of our history, the city's history, the state's history, the country's history, particularly as it pertains to, as M. Dominica Youngblood said, to the black and the white community coming together at a time when there was so much segregation. We're talking about Sweet Auburn Avenue. It was the lifeblood of the black community. The churches were there. The civil rights groups were there. The shopping was there. The restaurants were there. It was a bustling, very important area. And for those of you who might have just tuned in, I mean, in 1956, Fortune magazine described it as the richest Negro street in the world. And while there are new businesses popping up, the street itself has not been redeveloped. And M. Dominica Youngblood has been working on the housing portion of it for 25 years, and that area is doing great. So how many people actually come in to that area, and what is the feeling they take away with them? I know how I feel, and I live here, but yeah. What do you hear?
So a million visitors come every year. And they come literally from all over the world. I mean, I can stand on the corner of Jackson and Auburn and hear, you know, German, French, Italian, you know, accents from, you know, Midwest and Northeast. I mean, people literally from all over the world. So they come, and as long as they're between Jackson and Howell, which is where the National Park Service has done the work, they're okay. But I have seen people who, you know, who want to understand the context. You know, this is not a community, or that these two streets just didn't come out of nowhere. They're part of a larger context, which is the context of Sweet Auburn. And so you see people walking up and down the street, looking at the buildings like and trying to figure out what is this place and why does it look like this. And it's embarrassing because I know that there are people who will leave Atlanta having had a wonderful visit to Dr. King and Mrs. King's crypt and to the visitor center. But when they think about us as a city and the way we have neglected and allowed to deteriorate the area around Dr. King's, you know, stuff right now, but it's the neighborhood he grew up in, that we've allowed that to deteriorate and become an embarrassment and an eyesore. I think they take away less than a favorable impression of us. And I don't think that's what we want. We can't talk about being an international city when you've got this big swath of neighborhood between downtown and the residential portion of the historic district, which is, you know, embarrassing and in disrepair. I mean, you've got, as I've said earlier, broken sidewalks and broken streetlights and
empty
trash
buildings.
And empty buildings. And it's just incredible. It's incredible. And so it's, you know, for me, as an African-American woman who's been working and doing economic development for the last now over 35 years, it's a sense of embarrassment that I want to turn into a sense of pride. Because I know what we're capable of, and I know what's possible.
So we need private and public investment.
Yes,
and we need
do.
People to care.
Yeah, we do. You got to care. And I think some people don't care because they don't know. So one of the things that we're doing is we're trying to raise the profile of the work and the effort and of the corridor. We want people to understand why Sweet Auburn is so important.
Okay, now this leads right into what I want you folks, my listeners, to do. July 30th. Free from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. between Jackson and Howell Street on Auburn Avenue. There's going to be a huge family day culture fest. And it's sponsored by Sweet Auburn Works, the National Black Arts Festival, and the National Park Service. And we're getting money from two other groups. I can't remember who they were.
Well, American Family Insurance,
yes,
and Georgia Pacific are our sponsors.
And okay, so what are we going to see? I know you're going to have storytelling.
Yes. So one of the things that I have been hoping for, and this does for us, is to finally have a festival on Sweet Auburn that really is about Sweet Auburn. We've had lots of festivals that have been about lots of other things that have happened in Sweet Auburn, but they've not been about the neighborhood. And this festival is about the neighborhood. So in addition to storytelling, we're going to do tours, of the entire corridor. And I want to say that while the focus of the festival is between Howell and Jackson, we've got activities happening across the entire neighborhood, and from Studioplex all the way to the Research Library at Piedmont and Auburn. And so we're going to have a cooking demonstration. We've got Sweet Auburn Bread Company, which has been in the corridor for almost 20 years. It's an amazing business that does fabulous bakeries, baked goods. And so they're going to do a cooking demonstration. We're going to have health and wellness lectures and screenings. And we're going to have local artists.
Good.
Okay. We're going to have local artists.
You've always been an art collector.
I know. Well, I want local artists. Local artists, artisans, to people who actually live and work in the community, to be part of the effort. And one of the things I'm most excited about is we're doing a culture hunt. And so it's
a scavenger hunt.
Well, we're calling it a culture hunt. And so it's for kids, it's for young people, but anybody can do it. And we've identified probably 20 or so venues, really important places in Sweet Auburn, that if you go to and you get a little stamp that says, I've been here, I found it, I've been here, when you get back to home base, we give you a prize.
Ooh.
But you get to go to the Research Library, you go to the Apex Museum, you go to the historic Atlanta Life Insurance Company buildings, you get to go to the sculpture of John Wesley Dobbs, not Dr. King, that's there in Dobbs Plaza. You get to go to the Prince Hall Masons building. You get to go to Studioplex. You get to go to the churches. You get to go to all these really important places. And then the obvious ones, you know, the King Center and the Visitor Center and those. But it really causes people to venture outside that portion where just the historic site is, but into Sweet Auburn, and we do it with the folks we really, frankly, care about the most, and that's the kids.
Oh, you are so passionate about Sweet Auburn Avenue, but you always have been in that entire neighborhood. So if you all are interested in learning more about Sweet Auburn, I'm going to give you this information again. Saturday, July the 30th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., please come on down to the Family Day Culture Fest on Auburn Avenue. And you can go to www.sweetauburnworks.com for more details. I have put our picture and this information on the KISS 104 Facebook page, so you can get more information there. And I really hope you'll come downtown and see for yourself why this area is so important. I have not been to the seafood restaurant, but I am going to make that on my list of things to do. And I would say also, if you go down there and you see why it's so important, talk to your city, your county, and your state representatives and ask them, why hasn't more been done to help Auburn Avenue? I think we talk about the little bus, you know, the little shuttle, the little train. Well, the little train could do more if there was more to be seen, and it wouldn't be losing money.
And it's a good way to get to the festival.
It's a good way
to get to this. So we would encourage people, so that you don't have to worry about parking, to take the streetcar.
Okay, so that's it for us. If you missed any part of this and you're still interested, the podcast will be up on Tuesday, but you can go to www.sweetauburnworks.com. Boy, that 3 hours went by quickly. Leave you with this. What Mama Hattie always says is what you do with what you have that makes you what you are. Don't make excuses, make work. Deborah Reese is up next. See you next week.